Hallelujah. Welcome everyone to this Sunday morning worship in the name of Jesus Christ. My prayer is that we will leave here better estate than we came here. Spiritually, we'll be better. Hallelujah. Spiritually, we will be better. We will get closer and closer to the cross of Jesus. Amen. We'll continue our exhortation. Is it a teaching? Is it a sermon? I don't know what you call it, but the title is The Token, The Evidence of Salvation. While we have the evidence of the Holy Ghost, while we have the evidence of the Holy Ghost as the fruit of the Spirit, for a tree is known by her fruit, but all the fruit, the Holy Ghost, you have to receive the Holy Ghost first before the fruit. Now, so that Holy Ghost that produces the fruit, I repeat, the Holy Ghost that produces the fruit is a token. It is the evidence of salvation. And to recap what we spoke last time, it is a thing serving as a visible or tangible representation of a fact. That is what a token is. It's an evidence. I wanted to offer you a small token of appreciation. I want to give you as a token of my love for you. I give you this ring as a token of the vow that we have exchanged. Evidence. Amen. And I told you that we have three applications of this token once you are saved. We looked at the first one, which is the token that is applied after you enter a covenant with God. We're looking at salvation. That's why we spoke the last time we came, last Sunday. And this is part two. Amen. So that you understand this baptism of the Holy Ghost program we just finished. So that you'll understand what salvation is all about. We try to look at it from different angles. I'm teaching. I said there are three applications. The first one is the one that is applied after a covenant is entered into. So we looked at the token of the rainbow after God made a covenant with man through Noah that he will not destroy the earth again with water. So that the token, the evidence of this covenant is the rainbow. He gave him a rainbow. He entered a covenant with Abraham, the token, the evidence. That is what will be seen, and the evidence and the covenant will be reminded and enforced. We saw that in Genesis 17, the token of the covenant was the circumcision of his forehead. And we also saw that of Rahab was a thread of scarlet color. We also come down to Egypt. Firstborn son is going to be killed in every family. But the firstborn of Israel will be saved. But this will be the token. Apply the blood of that lamb that shall be killed in front of your house, the doorpost and the pillars of that house. And when I see that token, I will pass over you. And that token must be visible. The rainbow is visible. I emphasized that last week. The foreskin is that is circumcised is visible. It's visible, and the blood to be applied must be visible before it can be seen. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. I'm breaking it down to where we are today. We are also under a covenant, and that covenant is also sealed with a token, and that token is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And it must be seen physically that that token is applied on you. And how is it seen? By the life that you live. A tree is known by her fruit. Praise the Lord. We are also a church of the firstborn. Destruction is coming upon the earth. And only those who will apply the blood of the Lamb of God. And it will be physically seen. When it is seen, the judgment that is coming upon this world will pass over us. This circumcision is no more of the flesh, is now of the heart. And the praise is of God, because it is God that does the circumcision by himself. That's why Colossians chapter 2 calls it the circumcision of Christ. It is the power that is in the blood of Jesus Christ. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. When I was given the testimony of that sister who met me some time ago and was sharing this with me. Amen. I learned a lesson from that testimony. She was a prostitute. Oh, glory be to God. She was a prostitute. But she recognized something about the God of Israel. That's why she told him, said, you will not understand. Listen, sometimes the faith, the revelation you catch, amen, don't bother explaining it to carnal people around you. They will never understand why you decided to live the life you are living. The experience you have gone through, sometimes it cannot be explained because it is not mechanical. When Apostle Paul met with Christ on the way to Damascus, it was not mechanical. Something happened that changed the whole of his thinking about who this Jesus is. And they could not understand why he was doing that. This woman, a prostitute living in a brothel, on Sunday she would carry her Bible and go to church. She was looking for something. And he who seeks will find. Hallelujah. Come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Come to me. There is something about her. And that woman represents every true believer. See, anybody that just give your life to Christ by birth, your family, your papa, your mama is a Christian. That is why they go to church. You hear, I was born in the message. That's their language. I was born Anglican. I was born Catholic. No matter how you show them any scripture, preach to them, they are looking at a religious person. Christianity, Anglican, their religion has become her culture. You are telling him to act an Igbo man, not to eat akpu, but begin to eat tuwon shinkafa, the miyan kuka, and leave akpu. Or has he? Waiting again. It's not possible. That is how they see the Christian faith. So when you are preaching to them, they are thinking, you are telling them, leave Catholic Church and come to my church. That's all. Somebody told me, you are wasting your time. Me, I will die Catholic. And I say, you're already dead, man. There's no need to say you will die. You're already dead. Praise God. Praise the Lord. This sister had, there was a void inside of her. She knew that what I'm doing, I'm not supposed to do it. I can't help myself. First and foremost, this is my means of sustenance. Where will I go to have food to eat? Even if I say I am living, what am I going to do? I don't have capital. She will go to church and come back. Oh, glory be to God. They will laugh at her. She told me she will go into her room and be crying. The customer will come and still sleep with her because she needed the money. And she said, one Sunday, she went to church and came back. And she finished crying in her room and dressed up. Her door knocked and a man entered. A customer entered. When the customer entered, they finished bargaining. The man asked her, why are you doing this job? And she said, well, I have no option. I don't like it, but I have no option. And the man said, you know you don't belong here. I see you, as I entered here now, I know you don't belong here. And asked her, can you follow me home? Anyway, the long and short story is that she followed him. She became his wife. He married her. Praise God. She married her. Amen. Now, that story reminds me of the story of Rahab. Rahab was also a prostitute in Jericho. Rahab was a prostitute, but she recognized the God of Israel. She told them, we know, we are shaking here. We know your God is with you. We know how you have destroyed other nations. And decided to help those two spies of Joshua and made them to escape, hit them at the risk of her life. She identified with the God of Israel. Therefore, she is going to be given a token for her salvation. And she applied the token. Although a prostitute, amen. I want you to note that those two spies did not go to the Reverend Sisters of Jericho. Those two spies went to a prostitute. Oh, glory be to God. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall be filled. Listen, they went to a prostitute. You know why I'm saying this? Why did God come to the Gentiles? The Jews look at us as dogs. But it is those dogs that God is looking for, because it is through these dogs that his glory will be made manifest. So that you have nothing to boast. Nothing to boast. The Jews believed they were holy because they were cleaning their eyes. They were following the law of Moses. Such people have no place for God. Those who have place for God are the poor in spirit. Those who have need for God are those who are hopeless. They know themselves that I deserve death. No hope. Jesus was accused of going to associate with the sinners, the publicans. And he says, it is only the sick that need a physician. If you are not sick, you will not need a physician. And the great physician now is here. The sick but is here now. He speaks the broken heart to cheer. Oh, hear the voice.
on mountain top, sweetest bird ever sung.
Jesus, blessed Jesus.
Hallelujah. In my former church, I have a very close friend of mine. He was my convert into the message. So many years ago, we were in the same church. And one day he came, he was giving his testimony. He had reason to tell the church. He said, there is nothing new. There is nothing that he added to his life coming to Christianity. He said, because even as an unbeliever, he will not lie. He hated lie. He was not promiscuous. He had no girlfriend, no fornication. He never had a girlfriend until he married. He never knew a woman until he married. He never smoked. He never drank. He never ever went to a beer parlor, never went to a nightclub. He was a very intelligent man. This 1 year after he left the university with a first class degree, he became a chartered accountant, very intelligent. That's at the time he was talking, he was the assistant manager of one of the big banks. And after he finished giving his own testimony, I collected the microphone to give my own too. And I said, my brother, I now know why you don't rejoice the way I rejoice when we come to church. I said, I was horrible. I was terrible. I said, I was written off even by man. But when he reached down his hands for me, that's my testimony. When he reached down his hands for me, I was lost. I was lost and undone. Without God, nor his son. When he reached down his hands
for me,
he brought me out of the mud. That's my testimony.
He set my feet
on the rock
to stay.
Hey.
He put a
song in my mouth today. That's why I'm singing and rejoicing.
A song
of praise.
Hallelujah.
Such love. Such love.
Such wondrous love,
such love, such love,
such wondrous love.
Oh, that God
should love
a sinner such as I.
How wonderful is love,
oh, yes.
Like
me. Gone from my heart, the one and all is. I'm saved from all I love. Now at the cross, my heart is bending low. The precious blood of Jesus cleanses white. Do you love him? Oh, I love him. I
love him.
Because he does love me and purchase my salvation
on Calvary's tree.
Hallelujah. That's why some of these songs mean so much to me. People don't know why I sing them. Now God will love a sinner like me. He didn't allow me to die. I sit there and say, so if I had died an unbeliever, I am finished. I love that man
of Galilee.
Oh,
for he has done so very much for me. He has forgiven me all my sins. I've praise the Holy Ghost.
I love the man
of the living.
If you are a Christian by religion, you will never enjoy salvation. Upon this rock, I build my church. If you are a Christian because your mama and papa be Christian, that's why they born you. Amen. You will be like my daughter that is always asking me questions. Amen. She is quick to compare us with other Christians. One of the people coming to dedicate children here today, one of them brought invitation card. Maybe he just gave me a copy of what that they are coming to dedicate a child. A member of this church or a member or a worker in the church here with a picture of the baby on the card. My wife, my daughter this morning in the church, in my office, picked the card and pointed and said, he said, but this baby is wearing a ring. Okay, oh. But this baby is wearing a ring. I didn't see. She was the one that even pointed my, and I looked at it. I said, not true. I couldn't answer her. What will I answer her? Amen. Amen. A worker in the church. When they're coming for dedication now, they will remove the earring. Oh. Hallelujah. So, my daughter, as far as she's concerned, it is religion we are doing. It's not revelation. Why are you like this? The others are like this. You know, they're not the same Christians. When they are singing and wearing trousers and then on the television she's singing, she said, but they are Christians now. One day she told her, I hit her, I said, receive the Holy Ghost. And stop asking me questions. Because I know there's trouble ahead for this one. Unless God visits her and gives her a revelation, she will only be religious. When she goes to school, she will knock her trouser. When she's coming home, our daddy does not like trouser. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Religion. Religion. And what of the rest? There are many of you too. You are dressing like us because you are worshiping with us. There are many of you Christians that fear their pastors more than they fear God. How do I know? When the pastor is around, you behave yourself according to what the pastor likes. My former pastor, I worshiped with him. While I was with him, one day, in my office where I was doing my business and doing my own personal ministry work, I came out from my office to my secretary. I was doing something with her on her table. Suddenly, everybody in my office, because almost everybody in the office were members of the same church, they ran, pastor, and then this one duck here, this one they dress, and this one they push, pastor. And I peeped through the window, I saw him parking his car. I felt bad. I went back to my office. When he finished seeing who he wanted to see, he branched to greet me. I said, sir, can you see that? I want to tell you something. I said, sir, when you were parking your car, I was in the reception. And I saw what was happening. Everybody was running and hiding that you are coming. And they were checking themselves and they were dressing well. And I said, sir, I know you are my pastor, but I'm obligated to tell you this. I said, sir, if you are raising members of your church to fear you rather than fear God, I said, you have failed in your ministry. Your members fear you more than they fear God. If you are not around, they act anyhow. But when they see you, then they dress well. So I said, you have failed. Go and review your ministry. Well, they knew me because that's how I talk to them. What is in my mind, I talk. If you like, be angry with me. And he shook me and said, Brother Moses, thank you very much. But they are also here. See, pastor, they come. They're here. They're everywhere. You will never understand what salvation is. Apply the token. If you have entered the covenant of grace, show me the token. It must be seen as the evidence of salvation. That is what the Holy Ghost is. The covenant that God has, this world will be destroyed like the city of Jericho. Rahab, Gentiles, apply the token. Apply the blood. And when I see the blood, it has to be seen. I will pass over you. That was the emphasis for the first application. Today, the second application is the token of affliction and judgment. The token of affliction and judgment. There is also a token. And this is the way the Bible puts it. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 28 and 29. Listen to the way Apostle Paul put it so that you can catch it.
And in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake.
Let me read that again, verse 28 and 29, for emphasis. He said, for unto you, okay, verse 28 and verse 29, from verse 28, he says, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries. Don't be terrified by what your enemies will be doing against you because of this gospel. Now, this is why. He said, which is to them the adversary who are tormenting us because of our faith. He said, which is to them? He said, it is an evident token of perdition. It is an evident token of perdition. That is, to them, that is the evidence of destruction that is coming upon them. What they are doing to you is a token. It's an evidence. But to you, that same persecution that you are receiving from them, it is a token of salvation. And he said, and it is that of God. It's God that allows it. For unto you, he says, it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only that you will believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. Therefore, there is another token that must be applied. The suffering for Christ's sake. Church, the sufferings of a believer because of your faith is ordained by God. And it is an evidence of your salvation. Oh, glory be to God. That's why Paul told Timothy that is the truth. Those who teach that gain is godliness, he said, get away from them. That because you are suffering, because you are prospering, you are building houses, you have money, you are millionaire, you are billionaire, you are a Christian, you are prospering, you have how many houses? That is evidence that God is with you. Yes, so, but I didn't see in the Bible as a token. What I saw in the Bible is those who will suffer for Christ's sake is the evidence of salvation. While to them that persecute you, it is also an evidence of their destruction because they will never go free. Listen, Egypt, the Egyptians, Pharaoh and his army never went free for tormenting those who were under the token of the covenant with Abraham. Listen, church. Nobody, I don't know how to put this for us to understand. For every true child of God, listen very well. Listen, and I pray that it will sink into your heart. Nobody will torment you because of Christ. Because you're a Christian. Because you are professing Christianity. Because you are preaching. Because you are operating a gift. Because you are a minister of God. And because of anything associated with Christ in you, an enemy is developed and begins to torment you. Let me tell you, that torment that is tormenting you, God allows it. Because that is what God is going to use to deal with that person. None of them goes free. Even, I don't know how to explain this, but that is the truth. Even if that person later on gets converted, he will still pay for it. Hey, Pastor, what do you mean? But God has forgiven now. He has forgiven totally. He has forgiven. But what you sow, you reap. Give me an example, Pastor Moses. I'll give an example, Apostle Paul. What he made Christians to go through, he went through it double after he gave his life to Christ. That person too will suffer the same persecution for Christ's sake. He too will suffer persecution for Christ's sake. One woman I saw, Binta Muhammad or so, a Christian. I was listening to her testimony. She was in the University of Nsukka, and they were the fanatical Muslims. And her roommate was a Christian. And she hated the Christian. She hated it. They were those, you know, she even grew to be whatever it is, the leader of the women wing of the Jamaat, these are Islamic organizations. She said that one day she came into her room, and her roommate, who was a Christian, always preaching about, dropped her Bible by mistake on her bed. And she came in and saw a Bible. She took the Bible, tore it to pieces, smashed it on her, did everything. She said, the lady took the Bible in the pieces, held it, crying, and knelt down and lifted the Bible, instead of cursing her and fighting her and raining Holy Ghost of fire on her. He said, Binta, if I be a daughter of God, this Bible that you have destroyed, this same Bible, you are going to pick it and preach the gospel of Christ. Amen. And she was giving this testimony in a church where she was ministering. The same persecution, when a Muslim like that becomes a Christian, you know the persecution she will go through. The same thing she gave that young girl in her room that time is what she's facing now. Her life is at risk. They pursue her up and down by miracle because she must preach and suffer. Listen, anyone that torments you because of Christ, that's why he said, don't bother, don't fight. If you fight, you are spoiling it. Amen. He said, if your enemy be hungry, you should do what? Give him food. When you are sure it's your enemy, don't go to prayer and begin to challenge your call. If I be, your neck must bend. If I'm a servant of God, your neck will bend. Okay, the neck will not bend. That means you are not a servant of God. Because always, except you are a witch, it will never come to pass. Anytime you curse, the Holy Ghost is speaking in your heart. I say, leave the battle to me. The battle belongs to the Lord. None goes free. I have to take note of that. Why? It is the evidence that they are to be destroyed. That is the reason God will use to put them in the lake of fire. While you, for withstanding that persecution, it becomes also a token for your reward. Because you are suffering for Christ's sake. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Let's read it from verse 1 up to verse 10 for emphasis. Listen to the way Apostle Paul put it.
Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, unto the church of the Thessalonians, in God our Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Uh-huh. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you toward each other aboundeth.
Now listen very well.
So that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions.
For what?
Your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations.
Again, for what?
For your patience and faith.
Patience and faith in all your persecution and tribulation that you endure. Go on.
Which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God.
It is a manifest, evidently shown, is a manifest token, evidence
of the righteous judgment of God. Uh-huh. That you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God.
You see, that will make you to be counted worthy of the kingdom of God,
for which you also suffer.
It's a token, evidence that you're a candidate for the kingdom when you suffer for Christ's sake. Read on.
Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble
you. He will
you.
Do what? How will he pay him? Pay them with?
Recompense tribulation to them that trouble you.
He will recompense tribulation. Anyone that trouble you, tribulation is awaiting that person.
Uh-huh. And to you who are troubled, rest with us.
Rest with us.
When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels.
Oh, yes.
In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God.
Okay, now.
And that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Uh-huh. Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power.
Hallelujah.
When he shall come to be glorified in his saints. Uh-huh. And to be admired in all them that believe. Oh, because our testimony among you was believed in that day.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's why he said, if you will follow me, what should you pick? Pick your Bible. Eh? Pick your church. What will you pick? Your cross is an emblem of suffering and shame, but it is a token for salvation. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10, 11 and 12. 2 Timothy.
But thou hast fully known my doctrine,
uh-huh,
manner of life,
uh-huh,
purpose,
uh-huh,
faith, long suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured.
He endured them.
But out of them all, the Lord delivered
me. Oh, glory be to God.
Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution.
Again.
Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution.
Again.
Yea. And all that will live godly.
Is it some or all?
All.
That will do what?
That will live godly in Christ Jesus.
All that attend the church regularly.
That will live godly in Christ Jesus.
All that pay their tithe and offering.
That will live godly in Christ Jesus.
All that go for evangelism. All that do what?
That will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution.
That's why. Amen. If I see any pastor that is hailed by the world, that is a star by the world, that is called by the world, he's not living godly in Christ. Any pastor, and at the time that preach, they don't want to offend anybody. You see that God is good, love, 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 God is good, so that they have no enemy anywhere. Okay, now. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, 7, and 8.
For I am now ready to be offered.
Listen to him.
And the time of my departure is at hand.
Uh-huh.
I have fought a good fight.
Uh-huh.
I have finished my course.
Uh-huh.
I have kept the faith.
Uh-huh.
Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love is appearing.
Because it is the reward for endurance. He applied that token. Therefore, he is sure of his resurrection. Matthew 24, verse 9 to verse 13.
Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted.
Listen, he was telling the disciples, then future, uh-huh.
Shall they deliver you up to be afflicted,
uh-huh.
and shall kill you,
uh-huh.
and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake.
And ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Uh-huh.
And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another.
Because many, because of this persecution, they will go back. Many, because of a hunger, they will go back. Many, because of difficulties, they will go back. But what does it say?
And shall betray one another, uh-huh. and shall hate one another.
Uh-huh.
And many false prophets shall rise, uh-huh. and shall deceive many.
Uh-huh.
And because iniquity shall abound,
uh-huh.
the love of many shall wax cold.
Oh, glory be to God.
But he that shall endure unto
this is
the
my
end,
emphasis. Endure. It is those that will be saved are those that will endure. Endure. This is prophecy by Jesus himself. Who has the ability to stop it? But it is allowed of God as a token. And so in the Smyrnian church age, Revelation chapter 2 from verse 8 to verse 11, to that church age, see what they went through.
And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna,
yes.
write, this thing said the first and the last,
uh-huh.
which was dead and is alive.
Uh-huh.
I know thy works.
He knows. See, Jesus knows all about your struggles. He knows. Never you think he doesn't know. He knows. And it's for a purpose. See what he's telling that age.
I know thy works, uh-huh. and tribulation,
uh-huh.
and poverty, but thou art rich.
They look at us as if we are poor, but we are rich.
And we I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan.
Uh-huh.
Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer.
Fear none of those things that you will suffer.
Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison,
uh-huh.
that ye may be tried.
Uh-huh.
And ye shall have tribulation 10 days.
Uh-huh. And this history, Diocletian, that emperor Diocletian, that was under his reign that this prophecy was fulfilled. Go on.
Be thou faithful unto death,
yes.
and I will give thee a crown of life.
Despite the suffering, he said, don't give up. Be faithful even unto death. Go on.
He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches.
Uh-huh.
He that overcometh shall not be out of the second
death. See the reward. How will you overcome? You overcome by endurance. May God give us endurance in the time of persecutions in the name of Jesus Christ. James chapter 1. Let's read two more scriptures here. Verse 2, 3, and 4.
My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations.
So don't think that God has forsaken you.
Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience.
Uh-huh.
But let patience have a perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing.
Verse 12.
Blessed is the man that endureth temptation.
Again.
Blessed is the man that endureth temptation.
Uh-huh.
For when he is tried,
uh-huh.
he shall receive the crown of life,
oh,
which the Lord hath promised to them that love him.
So that you know that your suffering is not in vain. That's all I'm trying to prove here. There's a reward for also applying the token of affliction. 1 Peter chapter 4, also verse 12. Up to verse 19.
Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you,
uh-huh.
as though some strange things have happened unto you.
Uh-huh.
But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of
Christ's suffering. Anytime you are suffering for Christ's sake, you are being a partaker of the sufferings of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is why you go for water baptism now. Before you, when you go to water, you identify with his suffering, you identify with his death. So you will also suffer like him, oh, and be ready to die like him. I know people don't like this type of gospel. No, that is why. No. It doesn't excite us. But whether you accept it or not, all will pass through it. So I prepare your mind, unlike other pastors, that will tell you God is good, God is good, God is good. There are some night vigils that you don't need to do those night vigils, fighting those witches and wizards. If the reason is because you're a Christian, just hand it over to God. Ask for grace to go through it. Because 2 Peter chapter 2, we have not finished reading that, Abby. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9.
The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations.
Eh?
The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations.
He will still deliver you out of those temptations. Uh-huh.
And to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished.
That is why it looks as if God is not doing anything against those who are persecuting you. Even after he delivered you from their hand, you are given testimony, they are still alive and threatening you. The reason is because God has an appointed day for them. They will never go free. It's a revelation. So stop unnecessary night vigil and doing dry fasting to pray against any enemy somewhere. You were not suffering that until you became a Christian. Hand it over to God. Simple prayer. Lord, it's because of you we are suffering. Amen. Don't ask for grace to go through whatever estate you are going through. And it is not forever. Because in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. First,
there are no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man.
Anything you are going through, there are people that have gone through it before.
But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. But we will the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear
it. You see, there will always be a way of escape. So go back to where we are reading in 1 Peter chapter 4.
Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange things happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy.
Amen.
If ye be reproached for the name of Christ.
If you be reproached for the name of Christ, the reason you are suffering is for the name of Christ.
Happy are ye. For the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you.
On their part.
On their part, he is evil spoken of.
But on your part.
But on your part, he is glorified
through those sufferings. Go on.
But let none of you suffer as a murderer.
Don't go and. Please listen. No. It's not every suffering that is for Christ. So. Let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief
or as an evildoer.
Busybody gossip. Gossip in other men's matters. Chuck your head inside it. Evangelist Chinedu, don't go to Catholic church and say Pope is the Antichrist. If they slap you, say you are suffering for Christ. You are not suffering for Christ, so you are suffering for foolishness. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Okudili, it's not every shrine you go and uproot. If you go and uproot, there are some shrines you go and uproot in the name of Jesus. They will tell you, what in bridges of our matter? What in concern us with Jesus? The people you are going to deliver them from that shrine, have they given their life to Christ? They have not given their life to Christ. You are going to look for trouble. That shrine will follow you till you enter house of Lagos. Then you say you are suffering because you went, you are suffering for for busybody in other men's matters. That one a busybody. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Some people go to look for trouble and say they are going to preach. You suffer, you are suffering. You, for a, as a murderer, you are suffering. You say you are suffering for Christ. Now lie you. How will you suffer as a murderer? Amen. So that you will understand why Christ said, if they slap you one cheek, turn the other cheek. But you say it was self-defense. That make me hit them back. But when you hit them back, it collapses. It can't die. They're not going to look at the reason why he fight you. They will look at them, say you don't keep a sin. You enter prison. Cry from morning to night. I went on evangelism. Father, I went on evangelism. That's why I am suffering now. No, if you went on evangelism, the person that sent you to evangelism said you should not retaliate. So you are not suffering for the gospel's sake. Oh, I wish I had time to preach today. Praise the Lord. There are some things we should hear. We should know. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Even Christ said, if you enter any place with peace, you want to preach, and they reject you. They didn't say you should fight. He said, remove your shoe. Dust it, enter, and go back. That dust will be witness to them that you preached and they rejected it. May the Lord help us. Hallelujah. Let's finish that scripture.
Verse 16.
Yes.
Yet, if any man suffer as a Christian,
if you suffer as a Christian,
let him not be
ashamed. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed of it.
But let him glorify God on this behalf.
Oh, glory be to God. Go on. Verse 16 again. Read verse 16 again.
Yet, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. But let him glorify God on this behalf.
Praise the Lord. When you say suffer as a Christian, that is, you are suffering for what you believe and stand for. For what you believe and stand for. Do you know, because of what you believe you stand for, your unbelieving, when I say unbelieving, he may even be a Christian in another church, but does not believe what you believe. Anybody that does not believe what I believe, you are an unbeliever to me. Do you understand? Do you know that your brother can refuse, because of what you stand for, to sponsor you in school, to give you the money he promised to give you because you refuse to follow him to his church? Do you know that he can kick you out of the house and you'll be squatting up and down because of what you believe? Because you stand on it. One of our brothers came. Amen. One of our brothers came from Kogi. And incidentally, he's a member of the church that he believes, that he belonged. Even a minister in that church that saw the way he was suffering. So we in Kogi and said, look, if you can go to Lagos, I know one church. Amen. And gave him the address of this church. Well, sorry, directed him first on television. He was watching it in Kogi. And he believed the gospel. And he had to come to Lagos here. And when he came to Lagos here, amen, no accommodation, himself and his son, I mean his wife and a child, I think a daughter. Adams. A daughter.
Adams.
I think it's a daughter, yes. And he's no place to stay. Of course, he attended a program here and would not allow anybody to live in the premises for security reasons. Nobody knew him. And so he went to Pako, one of these bush here, this plot of land here. And then, according to him, he even paid rent for the place and used wood, him and his child and his wife, mat on the ground. No job, no money, nothing, nothing. How they will eat, only God knows. But somehow, one church near us had a problem with the electricity transformer. And he got to hear it and he said he's an expert in it. And he went there and fixed that transformer. And the general overseer sent for him and offered him, I think, whether it's 100-something thousand naira or so. How much? 175. Offer him a salary of 175,000 naira every month. No, he asked him, where are you worshiping? And he said, he worshiped in Bride Assembly. I said, come and get out of that place. I give you 175,000 plus a two-bedroom flat to stay. And he told him, he said, no, sir. Hallelujah. I believe a message. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe a message. I didn't know, somehow somebody told me that there is somebody here who knows this, who knows this, who knows, the administrator came to me and was asking if they can employ a particular brother that just came here and described that he's good at this, good at this. That's all he told me. And I wanted to meet him. And the brother came to me and I found out that he had a first class degree in electrical engineering in UNN, Usuka, first class. His wife was a graduate of biochemistry, a degree in biochemistry. But the thing that was disturbing them, the spirit disturbing them, was too much. Why? Because he left his family when he met with Christ, gave his life to Christ, and they rejected him. And he's even a prince of their town. And so they kicked him out, and all whatever thing that is, you know, he's been going through, plus diabolical means and everything. And when I saw him, he's an expert in inverter, expert in electricity, expert in this, expert in that. I said, what? How do you come about it? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And he said, sir, I've been looking for work. I'm just offering to work here voluntary. But I'll be hustling up and down. When I sent them to go and find out where he lives, and I saw where he was living, is with water. It's, even my dog will not live there. Even my dog will not live there. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Where will the church have to employ him? We are not as rich as the other church. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But we offered him money, salary, and then I think last week you gave him money to rent an apartment across Ijesha here. Praise the Lord. Even the money was offered, he rejected it. He was saying, no, you should not worry. You just manage here. He has already, you know, there is a way poverty will turn your head. So when you don't meet better, you go reject them. You are used to suffering. We said, no, we care about your welfare. That is why. And I'm happy he has gotten a place now. But see, we are, after he suffered, that is my emphasis, for the sake of the gospel, that God will make a way of escape. The suffering is not forever. I say it again. The suffering is not forever. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's say, what I'm saying is the truth. Is the wife here? Wave your hand. Let me see you. No, stand up and wave your hand, sister, so that they know that what we're saying is the truth. That's the wife. Praise the Lord. And the daughter. Hallelujah. They were sleeping on mats. And I shook the wife's hand. I said, you are a wife indeed. You stayed with the suffering of the man. I said, God will reward you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And so verse 17, what is he saying as we round up the first, that second
for
affliction?
For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved,
okay, now,
where shall the ungodly and the sinner
the certainty
appear?
Of judgment, verse 19.
Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing.
How do you commit it? It didn't say commit it in prayer. Commit it to him in what?
In well-doing.
In well-doing. Continue serving God.
As unto a faithful creator.
Just continue knowing that he is a faithful creator. Knowing that he is faithful, he will not let you to perish like that. Praise the Lord. That is the second application. The third application of the token is what everybody likes, including me, is my prayer, is Psalm 86, verse 17.
Show me a token for good.
Again.
Show me a token for good.
Again.
Show me a token for
good.
It's
a prayer. Everybody, verse 17, shall we go? Show me a token for good, that they which hate me may see it and may be ashamed, because thou, Lord, hast helped me and comforted me. I say we all like this one. Hallelujah. Me, myself, I like it. It's a prayer point. Lord, show me a token for good. What is this token for good? That token is something you will do in my life. That is the token for good. That the psalmist says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Don't kill them. Do something that they will know I'm not serving you in vain. And God does it. When it was time for him to come and bring his children out of Egypt, he smote the Egyptians with plagues. But he reserved a place called Goshen. That was the dwelling place of his covenant people that had been under slavery for so long. Goshen. While they were suffering all that plague, while all the judgment was in the land, it did not come near Goshen. By that, hallelujah, they knew that the God of Israel is a living God. They reached the Red Sea and they were running. Say, I will see how you will get a job. I will see how you will get that certificate. I will see how you will marry. Let them not die, oh. Before the eyes of the Egyptians, the Red Sea parted. Somebody, your Red Sea is about to part. I say your Red Sea is about to part. Hallelujah. They thought they have finished with Joseph. They have finished him. The position that Joseph became. Hallelujah. The rejected stone has become the chief cornerstone. The headstone. Amen. All his enemies came and bowed before him. Somebody here. Amen. God will so lift you up so that all the suffering you have been suffering, all the gainsaying you've been hearing concerning your life, all their mouth will close because of your testimony. Hallelujah. Rahab. The harlot, Rahab. Okay, now, why they destroy all of you? I am alive. And not just that, see the token for good that he gave. It's not only Rahab. Matthew chapter 1. Hallelujah. Verse 1 and verse 2, what does it say?
The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham.
That is the book of the generation of Jesus, and that is the lineage of Jesus. This is the line that Jesus came through. Jesus Christ is known as the son of David, and David is known as the son of Abraham. But go to verse 4 and verse 5, see how he came up.
And Aram begat Aminadab. And Aminadab begat Nahshon. And Nahshon begat Salmon. And Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab.
Wait, let's start from Rahab. What happened? Salmon was a Jew. He came to Jericho after they conquered Jericho, fell in love with that harlot, Rahab. Married her and gave birth to Boaz. So, go on. And Boaz.
And Boaz begat Obed of Ruth.
And now, this same Boaz now, oh glory be to God. He also was the one that redeemed Ruth. Another idol worshiper from Moab. She was not a Jew. She followed Naomi, her mother-in-law, to follow her God. And God, while they were laughing at her, because she suffered for some time before Boaz redeemed her. But when Boaz redeemed her, Boaz was a rich man. Through her, he gave birth to who?
Obed.
And
Obed begat Jesse. And Jesse begat David.
So,
the king.
So you see now, oh glory be to God. And David.
And David the king begat Solomon of her that had been the wife of Uriah.
Now listen here. Look at these characters. The first one we see is that prostitute Rahab. Amen. Written off. A dog. She married. Amen. Not ordinary marriage, a type of marriage that all other people will see and envy her. The next character is Ruth, the Moabitish woman. Moabitish woman. These are not Jews, so none of this is a Jew. None of this is a Jew. Hallelujah. That is why Jesus loved the Gentiles. Special love for us. Special love for us because he has Gentile blood in him. Oh, glory be to God. And the next person, hallelujah. The next one is Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah. Who is Bathsheba? Bathsheba is the woman that committed adultery with David. And David killed the husband so that he will marry her. Oh, glory be to God. Now imagine the sin that David committed. Imagine the abomination in Israel. Even God sent a prophet to warn David. God punished David for what he did. And the child that they even produced, that child that they produced from that relationship, no matter how David prayed, God still killed the child. Abomination. Yet, one will expect that an anathema, abomination on Uriah. She is the wife that they kill her husband to marry. I mean, you can imagine the kind of testimony that woman had. But it was not her fault. Praise the Lord. Anyway, that's another story. But see what happened. It is through that same woman that Solomon was given birth to. The greatest king that Israel has ever had came through that woman, Bathsheba. Bathsheba was not a Jew. She was not a Jew. Praise the Lord. Was a proselyte of the Jews. but identified with the God of Israel. And Solomon was that token for good. That all the other 300 wives of David, who were making claim to legal marriage, and then making caricature of her, through that token, their mouths were closed. Somebody here, the mouth of your enemy is about to be closed. Penina, always taunting Hannah, because she could not have a child. Show me a token for good, that those that hate me will see it and know that my God has helped me. And he gave back to Samuel. That became one of the greatest prophets in Israel. A token for good. Praise the Lord. Somebody is about to have the type of a job, a type of employment, a type of business, that those who hate you will begin to think, where did you go to? Let that person answer me, amen. The enemy tried to chase us out of this place, made us suffer for some time. But God showed us a token for good. Some of our enemies even came here to celebrate the dedication of this ministry. They even gave us offering. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Somebody here, the enemy will soon come to celebrate your token. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. So, but allow God to apply that token by himself. Wait on him. Wait on him. I say, wait on him. Maintain your testimony. I told you of one of my colleagues in those days, where they were planning to retire him. The Oga Patapata was planning to retire him. But they didn't know what to use, because they come to share money every month, and they come to share his own. He attended Deeper Life Church, and he was a strict Christian. And they would give him money. He told them, what is this money for, when they posted him to that office? He said, this is what we share every month. He said, no. He takes only what he's entitled to. He's not entitled. He's, don't bring this. Don't involve me in this. So he became a threat to them. And what would they do? They look for a way to finish it. They posted him to Kaduna and decided to set a trap for him, by thinking maybe he inflated the figures for salary for that month. They brought the salary and told his oga, they phoned his oga from Lagos, that the oga checked very well, that man is corrupt. He's corrupt. They were looking for something to hold on to so that they will retire him. He said, instead they counted the money was less. And then the man was saying, but they said this money is more than. Then he told his oga, he said, oga, he said, I serve a living God, because I refuse to be corrupt with them. I refuse to do this. They are setting a trap for me, but my God, whom I serve, will not allow them to have that occasion against me. Oh, praise the Lord. He was telling me this testimony in his office personally. And he said, shortly a month after that, they removed that oga from Lagos and appointed his oga in Kaduna to be the chief. And as he was going, he tapped him, you are the one that will be the director. Follow me to Lagos. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He retired all those people and put him on top. And he was saying, Alu, that is how I came to this office. I don't get Godfather. I don't have anybody. I don't have anybody. But my God, my God, my God, I need no other argument. I need no other. Can we stand up? It is enough that Jesus died. Oh, that he died for me. I need.
need no honor.
Christ. Because you refuse to open your leg for a man, you're frustrating. Because you refuse to follow them to their shrine, they're frustrating. Because you refuse to do that type of business, they are frustrating. Oh, glory be to God. 1990, 6 of my colleagues, friends, we are tight when I was in service, called me to Abuja that they will contribute 1 million for me to finish my nightclub that I was about to finish in before God, they say, go and rest in Ikoyi. I told them, I am a Christian now. Amen. I am now a Christian. They told me, no, don't worry, finish it. And then be sharing track for inside nightclub. And I told them, is it the nightclub you are interested in, or you want to rehabilitate me as friends? They say, we want to rehabilitate you. And I say, give me 6 million. You don't make my life better forever. 1990. But for that club, I've said bye-bye to that. I'm not going to that lifestyle again. I remember they say, all of them stood up. You will die poor man. We have done our best to settle you. You don't want. They stood up. This one went. This one went. Where we had a meeting in a hotel. They left me there. Transport to come back to Lagos, I didn't have. That was the time that I got to know there is something like attachment for luxurious bus. I sat down for one stool for center like this. I forgot how much I paid. All night till I reached Lagos. I said, Chai! I said, I was saying, go back, they will give you 6 million. But I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus.
Don't turn it
back. Don't turn. Ridicule of me. They made me cry different. Until I got to realize that if you put your hope on man, you are finished. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest friend. But holy lead
on Jesus' name.
Oh,
on Christ the solely rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Among that group and all my colleagues, I am now the most respected of all of them. Hallelujah. I am the one some of them call when they are broke. The same people that made caricature of me. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I say, God is going to give you a token for good. That those who hate you, they will know you are serving the living God.